Blog Talk Radio.
Amanda's not on yet. I'm on. Hey, hey. Welcome to the Andy and Amanda Show. Andy here, live from Michigan, just outside of Detroit here in the United States, doing a remote show for the first time, actually, away from our coast-to-coast Los Angeles studios. It's a pleasure to be with everybody here. It's a gorgeous day here in Michigan. We had incredible torrential downpours and tornadoes just a couple of nights ago. Wow, it was unbelievable. I've never seen so much rain. And also, you might see on our show description, one thing I noticed walking around here just a little bit in the evening is what you call what fireflies. We used to call them lightning bugs back east. And it's so great to see. You know, I've been in LA for so long now that I forgot about them, and I've had vivid memories growing up in the summertime with lightning bugs all around. Anyway, so here I am, Andy Kimball here in Michigan. I think Amanda's going to be joining us today. I know there's a couple of mix-ups here with our show schedule this week. Wednesday is our next scheduled show for 3 p.m. in the East Coast and 8 p.m. In the U.K. We probably will not be doing a show on Wednesday, so we'll be running a reload during that time. Maybe a highlight reel or something. We'll see. But anyway, but tune in Wednesday because we're going to have some fun with whatever we put in that time slot. We'll have some fun with it. And then we will be back live with you again on Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. UK. And whatever time zone that is for you in the world, that's the time it is because we know we're in 22 countries in various time zones all around the globe. And we welcome all of our listeners, wherever you might be, to Coast here, the Andy and Amanda Show. I see that Amanda just joined us, so let's click her. Maybe, you know what, she's late. Let's sit there for a while. You know what? You know what I mean? She joined us late, so hey, you know what I'm saying? No, we'll go ahead and put her in. Hey, Amanda, how you doing? I thought she was with us. It says that she's with us. I hope this remote's working okay. Oh, she's going to try again. I know she probably we're on the internet here, and we're doing this kind of in a crazy connection through Michigan, through the UK, through our Coast to Coast studios, out to you guys on Blog Talk Radio, and then to our podcast network with dozens and dozens of distributors for podcasts. And so it's kind of – here we go. Let's try Amanda one more time. Bear with us here, folks, as we get this show started.
Hello.
Here she is. Hey, Amanda, how you doing?
I'm doing good, sweetheart. How about you?
I'm doing great. Welcome aboard. We're here live from Michigan and live from the UK. First time ever doing a remote show here on the Andy and Amanda program. And a little mix-up getting on board, but we did it. You're here. I'm here. How you doing?
That's incredible. I'm doing good. Thank you, my darling. I'm glad everything's going well there. Is it nice there?
It is absolutely magnificently beautiful here. It's probably in the 70s or 80s, blue sky. You know, I feel like I'm in California. Don't I say the same things when I'm there? Hey, it's beautiful. 70 or 80s, blue sky. but yeah, it's very low humidity. I'm across from a lake right now in a makeshift studio that I had to create here in wherever I am, just north of Detroit somewhere. And I guess what's this called? The Oakland something. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at.
Oh, wow.
I don't know where I'm at. It is gorgeous. I might even do something even more. You know, right now I'm in a studio and I've got everything all lit up and we have 10 phone lines and, you know, I can tell you even you know, I should say...
I must apologize for not being here to greet you personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not Kleinenberg.
No, it's...
oh, is it
opened,
not?
Okay. No. But I'm here, and I might actually just take a stroll down to the lake and sit on the dock just for fun, just because I can. I think it'll work. I'm just going to try
Wow.
it. Should we have some fun? Should I leave the studio and just... All right, I'm going to unplug. Let me see if I do this. I want to take everybody for a walk here because hold on a minute. Hey, why I'm doing all this?
Yes.
What?
Would you like me to fill everybody in on what's been going on over here?
Not really.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
That's fine. Well, I'll just start off then. I'll go.
But
I'm sure they'd rather hear what's going on there.
What show is this? Is
the first, the second,
yes,
the third.
This is the first show of the week. This is the Monday show. The first show, and it is now July 26th. You know this month's over this week. Wow.
Wow.
July's over this week.
This is crazy. This year's flying by so fast. Or is it just me?
It really is. It's just you. Anyway.
Thanks.
No, I've been. No, really. It really is flying by fast here. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love summertime. Yeah. I love summertime. And I wanted to, you know, hope the rest of July and August takes its time because it just, you know, we're not getting any younger. You know what I mean? I should be. I'm sitting pretty.
You made $3.5 million.
Well, unless it's not pretty. But,
that's an interesting idea, Trump. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I'm sure Andy can confirm that's not actually true. But
that
maybe
is not there. Not,
maybe just Trump maybe. wants to borrow it from you to bail him out of it, all this bullshit that he's currently tied up in.
You know,
like Andy, help a brother out, you know.
Really, but yeah, I will give you some of the news in the U.S. All right, because we know what that's about. I think everybody knows what we're about to talk about here in the U.S. So I will spare us from that right now. And let's and I guess our audience wants to know.
What's up, Doc?
Yeah, what's going on there in the? What's going on there in the?
He's full of shit.
Give me a break, you know. I'm improvising here. You know, what do they call freestyling? I'm freestyling. This is how you freestyle on the radio.
Oh, you're doing it so well.
Thank you.
Very proud.
It's kind of cool. Now that this is working, because we talked about this before I left California, and we said, hey, because we were thinking about maybe not doing a show, you know, whatever. And now what I'm thinking is that anywhere – I travel because I'm hoping to pick up a music tour schedule real soon, and I also want to do a camp. I want to do more traveling during August. I know I'm going back east for a while. August. I think I leave August 8th or 9th for about a week, almost back east, and visit some. I might even get together with Cornell Butler. Might meet Cornell for the first time. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Love it.
And we even talked about doing a show together. You know, for those of you who don't know, Cornell Butler is the person who introduced Amanda and I, who have yet to meet, and none of us have ever met, the three of us. Cornell was the and Cornell, again, for listeners that which I know there are probably many now that have not heard the show previously or tuned in within the past month, Cornell put this the Andy and Amanda show together, and he introduced Amanda and I. He said, you guys would make a, you know, he was kind of in the entertainment biz and doing a bunch of things and managing different projects, entertainers. And he said, hey, you know, you two would be really great together. And Amanda and I met over the phone, and we said, let's give it a shot. And now about a little over a year, I think you sent me.
I know. And we've managed to tolerate each other for this amount of time. We must be doing something right.
We have spent more time together than many couples.
True. Bless
those
couples.
We've done 2-hour shows. We try to keep it around an hour right now for a lot of reasons, but we're around an hour. But we've done 2-hour shows. I think we even did a 3-hour a couple of times, and then we're on the phone for a long time. Then we're having production meetings and logistics meetings and regarding the Andy and Amanda show all the time. And we so together, you know, me and I have managed to spend a whole lot of time together. And when you think about it, we probably spend more time together than many couples do. Seriously, I think we probably do, you know?
You know, I never thought about it until you said, but that's probably true, yeah.
I mean, think about
it's
it.
Very,
talking
it's very sad, but it's true.
It's sad and true. And we have, we have a lot of fun, and then we also talk, the business part of what we do. We have a lot of fun just chatting and talking about, solving the issues of the world both off the air and on. And we are a year later, and I'm not sure how many shows we've done. Well, obviously, we were 5 days a week for a while.
Yeah.
And then went to three days a week. We were 5 days a week for quite a while, actually. We were 5 days a week a year ago for a long time, into the fall, way into the fall, I think, I believe.
Yeah.
And then we went to three. But altogether, 5 days a week, we've done several hundred shows, I think, a couple hundred shows anyway. I'm trying to think.
Yeah,
because a lot of the shows we do, like if we do a morning show or an afternoon show, it's Blog Talk Radio. We broadcast that show sometimes two or three times that same day. And then on a Friday show, and I want to mention why I'm talking about this in just a second, but on a Friday show, we are like heard Friday evening, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, and sometimes Sunday, sometimes not. But so Blog Talk Radio, which is a platform for our live call-in talk show, they rebroadcast all these shows, and they count those rebroadcasts as a show. So when we log on to Blog Talk Radio, we could show 445 or 450 episodes, somewhere around there. We haven't done that many shows, but that includes all the rebroadcasts, so. But we've still done a lot.
Yeah.
So the reason why I mentioned that, as I was just saying, is because I want everybody to know that they can tune into andyandamanda.com on the web, and that'll take you to, you'll see a line that says listen live, but click that even if we're not live because it takes you to the archives of all 400 and some broadcasts, of all the shows. And if you scroll, you can go back to April 15th of 2020, the very first show, the very first Coast to Coast show. You can go back that far. So, but I invite you all to do that. And also, as we know, we are distributed through iHeartRadio, through iTunes, through TuneIn Radio, through Pandora, through Google, through Alexa, through Chrome, through, all the various podcast distributors. We're on all of them. And our numbers, I'm proud to say, as of Friday, are up 96% in podcast listenership.
Incredible.
96%. And we want to thank our distributors, of course, but more importantly and most of all, and this couldn't be more heartfelt, I want to thank – I know a lot of you are listening to this podcast. I want to thank all of you for just tuning in and supporting what we do, hanging in there, even if you don't listen to the whole show, you're checking out and saying, whatever. I want to just, thank you. From Amanda and I, we just want to thank you for being there and listening to
absolutely,
whatever we do here, which we're still trying to figure out, I think. But anyway.
We wouldn't be here without them. Yeah.
We wouldn't be.
No.
And some shows we know have a broader base distribution listenership than others. But regardless, thank you, everybody. So tune in, because what we're going to do right now is turn the show over to Amanda while I unplug. Let me unplug you. Wait. let me see here. Let me see.
And it's time for What the People Say.
Yes, it is. First by Amanda Love. And she's going to let us know what is going on there in the UK. And I'm going to join you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be here, but I'm going to unplug and walk outside and walk down to a lake and sit on the edge of a dock and do a show from there and see if this all works. Amanda, what's going on in the UK? Fill us in.
Okay. So first of all, I'll fill you guys in on the COVID situation. Okay. So, as I've mentioned on the previous couple of shows, now our coronavirus cases have fallen and they're giving possible explanations for this. So, they don't want everybody to go, woohoo, yeah, let's go. When in fact, it could be down to a few things that we need to be very careful of. So, okay, firstly, we do not, as of yet, have the data since coming out of lockdown and won't have the data until Friday about, that gap of possible extra cases. So we need to be careful of that. Andy, dude,
yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes.
Are you able to mute?
Yes, I can hear
you.
What do you hear?
The background sound was really intense.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think that.
Oh, where
that
are you now,
been,
though? You're
I'm outside.
Outside.
I mean. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Cool. That's fine. That's fine. I can hear everything
okay.
perfectly now, darling.
Okay.
So
good. Okay.
Yeah.
I know what it was.
So yeah, we won't have that data until Friday. So you know, that's not accurate results that we've got right now with the numbers dropping. So people need to be aware of that. Scotland's case numbers were falling earlier than in England, with some evidence and decline may have been triggered by our football team's exit from the Euro 2020 tournament. Because if you think about it, we had all those people grouping together in masses, and they think that the spike in cases was kind of like a wave within a wave, and that was, you know, down to the event, right? Also, they're claiming it could be down to better weather over the past fortnight, because everybody is socializing outdoors, making the most of the weather, which is, you know, valid. And we've got 92% of adults in the UK now have antibodies to the virus in their blood, either through a previous infection or at least one vaccination dose. Okay, so
wow.
The other thing...
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. The other two things regarding COVID is it could be a compulsory, let's scrap that word, that's a new word I just created. Compulsory.
Yeah, I like the word, but yeah.
Compulsory. It's compulsory. or possible it could be compulsory vaccination for university students, because they're not going to rule it out at this point, because people all sat together in lectures. It's a perfect breeding ground for the virus to spread. So, you know, students, keep that in mind, that the government may bring that forward. Also, they're saying that the vaccine could be turned into a pill. So right now, protection against COVID-19 comes via injection, as we all know. But in the future, vaccines could come from inhalers or even pills. So a Swedish chemist, I think the name, let me try and pronounce this right, Ingemo Anderson, I think that's her name. Forgive me if I got it wrong. And her team hope a thin plastic inhaler half the size of a matchbox could play a big role in the fight against coronavirus, allowing people to take powdered versions of future vaccines at home. And they said it's easy
so
and it's...
great.
Yeah, right?
Wow. Yeah.
They said it's
yeah.
easy and it's really cheap to produce. So they're hoping, you know, that they're going to bring that forward and they're going to present it and see if that takes off. So we'll soon see. I think that's it for regarding coronavirus. Now, a few other things I noticed in the news actually is quite interesting. We've talked about this many times, Andy, about newspapers and the information and how they get their information and, you know, fake news and all that kind of thing. Okay, so in the news today, a British celebrity has received phone hacking damages after his voicemails were hacked and exploited by a newspaper. So we got a famous British singer here called Ronan Keating. And yeah, his voicemails were hacked. And it went all over the media, and he stopped trusting his friends because, you know, they wanted to know how this information got leaked. Now, phone hacking was a technique used to listen to people's mobile voicemail, cell phone voicemail. Reporters and a private investigator working for the News of the World used it to target people in the news, celebrities, politicians, and crime victims, so they could find angles on stories that would get them ahead of the competition. They would listen to private messages left on voicemail, make a recording of them, and use the information to help write stories. So it was like 9 years ago that the News of the World published a story about Prince William's treatment for an injury based on information that could only have come by because one of its journalists had listened to the Prince's voicemails. So ensuing police investigation, which uncovered a vast number of other victims, would begin, and the saga that led to the conviction of the closure of a newspaper bought by millions every week and moves to change the way newspapers are regulated. So this is what happened. News of the World was closed down in 2011 after its owners, Rupert Murdoch's News International, admitted the scale of hacking that had been going on dating back many years. The company had battled against growing allegations for 2 years. One of its private investigators and the News of the World's royal editor were jailed in 2007 over a story gleaned from hacking. The paper's original position that rogue staff had acted Rupert alone could not stand. Eventually, Rupert Murdoch decided he had no choice but to close the newspaper down after it emerged Millie Dowler, a teenager who was abducted and murdered, had her voicemails hacked. The Crown Prosecution Service charged two former editors and her successor with conspiracy to intercept mobile voicemails alongside other...
I can't follow the logic on that at all!
I know! It's pretty ridiculous! So yes, the newspaper got shut down, everybody got charged, and so, you know, so poor Ronan Keating, he's finally got his damages paid out to him today for everything that he went through with having his voice message. That's disgusting, I tell you, absolutely disgusting. And the other two things is London has been flooded. So East London saw a month's worth of rain in one day, and from this, London became flooded, with the fire brigade receiving over 1,000 calls for help to be evacuated from their cars, buildings, and all sorts of damages. A hospital was forced to evacuate its patients and cancel operations due to loss of power. Patients were being urged to seek other hospitals for medical treatment. And unfortunately, England is due more rain and thunderstorms over the next 4 days. I sound like the weather lady now. And so we have had severe weather warnings, and Boris Johnson, bless him, expressed his concern and sent a heartfelt message to those affected and mentioned that we are witnessing more of these extremes of weather, and it could be down to climate change, but he won't admit that, saying that only experts can confirm that, which, you know, we agree. But, you know, thankfully, this wasn't as bad as the severity that Germany and Holland and surrounding places had in Europe. That was absolutely tragic with what happened in Europe recently, with all the devastation and the deaths and everything. And I thought you guys would find this very interesting, okay? Especially you, Andy. Keyhole surgery could be changing. So,
what?
Yeah.
Really?
Scientists in the Netherlands have mimicked the way a parasitoid wasp lays eggs to design a new tool for keyhole surgery. So usually within keyhole surgery, the current tools are prone to clogging as they use suction that removes cancer cells and whatever else is there. There's parts of the bodies that it just cannot reach, right? So they studied the parasitoid wasp because when it stings, the part that penetrates other creatures, they insert their eggs into the tissue, and the stinger, as us victims so lovingly call it, has three blade-like valves which drill a hole into the host, and the egg is transported by the friction of their movement. So the wasp hatch and eat their victims from the inside out. That's the way it works. So,
oh my god,
this new tool has six semi-syndical blades around the tube, and the cells are pulled up through the tube by friction by alternating the movement of the blades, and because of that and the thin tube, it doesn't get clogged and it can reach small spaces. So the scientists are working on a prototype right now and hope to have that within a few years. I thought that was really cool.
That is more than cool. More than cool. You know what?
I know.
That is, where is this being done? Is this in Sweden? No,
this is in the Netherlands. The Netherlands.
Yeah. Oh my god. Oh my gosh. I love to hear breakthroughs like this. I mean, it just, you know,
incredible.
We spend so much time thinking, you know, where, you know, you look at heart disease, look at cancer, other diseases, and the many lives, the toll it takes, and of course, there's been many breakthroughs through the years and through the decades. Of course, there has been, but you also wonder what's taking so long for to find the cure, to find a major breakthrough in these things. And I'm not talking about COVID, but the ailments that affect all of us, our whole species, and this is something major. I mean, this sounds amazing. You know what else?
Incredible.
I was speaking to somebody just yesterday who's involved in development. Actually, they're doing this now. Radioisotopes are injected into the human, transferred into the bloodstream, and they go around and destroy cancer cells. Beep, 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 like little Pac-Man. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they found this. It works. It works. They're doing it. And I talked to a guy who has so many advanced degrees in engineering and chemistry and physics, and not physics, but biochemistry and so forth, that I couldn't count them all. But he's firsthand involved in this research and was explaining to me yesterday and how this is done and the fact that it is worked and it's in practice right now and it's still in development before you hear a lot about it and it's widespread to medical practices around the world. But they're doing it with some very positive outcomes.
Wow, that's incredible.
It really is. It's kind of cool to hear about these amazing, breakthroughs in medicine that are happening because basically all the conversation has been for so long now all about the COVID-19 and the toll it has had on our species. And it's great to, there's other issues in medicine that deserve attention as well as COVID, many of them actually. But, of course, I don't know if any disease has taken, 650,000 lives all by itself, just in the United States alone. How many millions of lives around the world within just over a year's time, But we're getting there. In L.A., there's been about 2,000 new cases of COVID over the past couple of days.
And
what's interesting? I was talking about this, too. I mean, interesting conversation with and that is, I've heard and researched two things regarding this. Somebody's got a vaccine, whatever the vaccine is.
Yeah.
And can they still get the coronavirus? Yes. They won't put them in the hospital. They won't die from it. Can they get symptoms? Yes. And many people, majority of people, won't even affect at all. But is it possible to get it? Yes. And the question is, if you are affected, not infected, but affected by the spike protein, by the virus itself, and you're vaccinated, it does nothing to you. Let's just say it doesn't. It does nothing to you. You're still breathing, and it's still in your body as though, So if you weren't vaccinated, you'd be a sick puppy. You know what I mean? But you are vaccinated, so you're not. But does the virus still have the same properties in terms of you being able to spread it through your breathing to be able to have an effect on somebody who is not vaccinated? And I've heard both things. I've heard, it bounces around your body for a while. It can't do anything. And in that process, it loses its ump, so to speak. And when you breathe out, it can't really do anything to somebody else.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure that's true. Because what you're seeing now is a large part of the population, especially in urban areas here in the United States, and also where you are in the UK and various areas around the world, a large parts of some populations are vaccinated amongst, in the millions of people. And the unvaccinated folks are getting sick and dying and getting, starting to eat up hospital beds again, so to speak, with their COVID-19 ailments. Are these people getting the coronavirus from vaccinated people? Or are they getting the coronavirus from other unvaccinated people?
Yes. That's a good question. Yeah.
That's a good question. We'll look into that. Let's make a point to elaborate more on this on our next show, which is we're going to be doing a show on Wednesday. We're doing a show on Wednesday and Friday. We're doing another remote show on Wednesday because this is working. We're going to do another remote show on Wednesday. I wasn't quite sure how this is going to work out, but we're okay. We're doing okay. Are you okay?
It's happening. Yeah.
It's happening. Right now, I'm going to send you. I want to do this. I'm going to take a picture. Our podcasters, our listeners don't care about this, but you and I do, my internet wife. I'm going to take a picture of where I am right now and send it to you right now on WhatsApp, because I'm sitting. My legs are dangling in the water in this beautiful lake.
Wow!
As we do the show, I'm dangling my legs in the water. I should even get in the water and take a swim. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm gonna take a picture here. And you will see where I am. Okay, let me snap this shot. What I'm looking at. There we go. And I'm gonna go to WhatsApp.
This is kind of fun. Yeah.
And
it is.
Here you are. Here you are. Attach the picture. Gallery. There's the picture I just took.
I've got my WhatsApp open.
Okay. And you
this
also
is going to be so
here.
Cool for me because I can obviously I can hear like how natural your surroundings are, and knowing that you're actually there, so actually seeing it whilst we're talking, that's going to be pretty cool.
Okay, somebody forgot that. I just sent it to you.
Okay, let's have a look. Wow.
That's,
okay,
that's
everybody. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the water with the light glistening off the water. I'm seeing a boat there. Ooh, that's a nice boat.
Isn't it nice?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little dock. Nice.
Yep. Yep.
That's so cool.
Yep. I should take a picture of me in a mankini sitting here at the dock. No.
That would be hilarious. I can imagine the listeners, listeners be like, we want to see that picture too, damn it.
Oh, my gosh. My mankini. I still have that in the plastic bag it came in.
Where it belongs, you mean?
You remember, I'm taking back, you know, because sometimes I go through doors, I hear the plastic bag of them. What am I going to do with this thing? I don't know what we're going to do with it. But anyway, I remember when, before the election, because we knew that Trump was going to lose the election. I want to dive into that a little bit more in a minute. But we knew Trump was going to lose the election. That if he won, I was going to wear the bikini. I forget what I was going to do with it, but I was going to take a picture of it, post it on our website, post it on the internet, whatever. If we were wrong about that prediction, and man, I remember when the first tallies came in, because many states couldn't count their absentee ballots until after the polls closed. Then they started counting. Some states counted, were able to count as soon as they started coming in by mail, which I think is great, because then they would have had the results that day, election night. They would have said election night, Trump lost.
Mm.
But the way it went, because all the Democrats, oh, here comes the water skiers. I should take a picture of this. Oh, jet skiers. Jet skiers. Yeah. This is cool. We should do this more often.
I should
go to different parts. I should go to different parts of California, because now that we know we can do this, and like go up to the mountains and take send you pictures up there and go down to the beach, the Venice Beach, and and interview people, like walk along the walkway and say, hey, excuse me, I'm doing a radio show. Can you take a look at our audience? What's your name? Interview people. We should talk about that. Anyway. Would that be fun? Anyway, what was I just saying? Oh yeah, Trump.
You were.
Yes, I'm very glad that, for a couple reasons, that Trump lost. But if they had, if the many many areas, regions of the United States had started counting the mail-in and absentee ballots when they came in, because so many millions and millions and millions of votes came in, tens of millions. Via mail and other means, boxes, absentee, military, but what came in late. Because of COVID, and people didn't want to stand in line and risk getting sick or dying because they exercised their right to vote. And rightfully so, the polls were. We know the whole story. We've been there a billion times. We talked about it before the election, blah, blah, blah. But because of that, the actual tallies had a, delay a couple of days before they came across and said Trump lost the election. As of election night, because the Trumpies and the folks that said, no, I'm standing in line, I'll risk it, I don't really give it to you. Well, of course, they're all Republicans. And it was predicted they were going to do that ahead of time. They said the night of the election, it's going to show Trump ahead. That ain't the whole story. And they said, why? And I just said, why? Obviously, that's why.
Yeah.
It was a majority of the people, not all, but a majority of the people who are going to show up to vote on election day are Trumpies.
Yeah.
Who said you can fix this thing with bleach and by shining black light into your butt, whatever it is, I forget.
shed some light on the situation.
Spray some Lysol down your throat and the black light up your butt at the same time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And
I'm cringing from crossing my legs right now.
Add some hydroxychloroquine, whatever it was called there, oxychloroquine, I don't know, whatever that thing was called, oxycodone, that may help though. But that other thing that Trump said, hey, this will fix it. Oh my God, I just had a flashback of that whole thing. Oh my God. Anyway.
It was horrific.
Oh, my God, yeah. And since then, millions and millions of people have been vaccinated. Right now, we're on a negative trajectory, saying, which is to say that the unvaccinated are in the hospital, not all of them, but you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have not been vaccinated are in the hospital or at home sick with COVID. They have been vaccinated. Now you're seeing YouTube videos pop up everywhere from everywhere, from moms and family members and grandmoms and even some doctors and even a couple of one conservative talk show host, a guy named Valentine, who runs a conservative talk show, is in the hospital with COVID and is making a plea for everybody to get vaccinated. And here's a guy who got on the microphone on a popular AM conservative talk show and told everybody, nah, I'm not getting vaccinated. Don't forget, it's a hoax. Don't get vaccinated. Well, the guy's got COVID. Now he's changed his song and story. And he's making a plea for everybody to please get vaccinated. And we are making the same case here on our show. You know, it's just, please, if you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. A good friend of mine who's a Trumpie to date thinks the COVID is a hoax, thinks that, speaking about the United States, that 650,000 people did not die, that more people, in fact, have died from the flu. And he's still saying that, and a good friend. And we try not to talk about politics, but we're very, very dear friends and love each other a whole lot and have a lot of fun together. But we just can't talk politics because, you know, knowing her as well as I do, and she's a very bright girl. I mean, really, really bright. And you love her. Everybody listening, I'm going to try to get her on the show. She's a lot of fun and very bright. I'd love to have her call the show. We probably shouldn't talk politics or COVID, but anyway, I'd love to have her call the show.
Absolutely.
And just say hi to everybody. But what my point is here is that I can't figure out being really bright and astute, you know, how one could think and say what she does, that COVID is a hoax, that more people die from the flu in the same time period, that Trump won the election.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. I talk to people, I like to have conversations about what people's thoughts and ideas are. So, when I do the show, I can be more bird's eye objective, see things from all sides and angles, and we talk about that here on the show. We feel a certain way, and we are very knowledgeable, and we have facts to back up the knowledge we have about things we talk about, but there are other people who think otherwise. It has nothing to do with something's true or not. It's just that something that people are led to believe. And here's the thing, and it comes down to this. If somebody is, let's say, how you might define or describe evil, you know, somebody, this is an evil person.
Yeah.
Somehow that you think, unless it's a psychosis, unless it's deep-rooted, you know, mental problem, in which case that's a different story, so exclude that population. But somebody you say did an evil thing, whatever, you think that they, through conversation, through education, through reading, that person can be they can change their thoughts and how they are. If somebody just says, for example, COVID's a hoax, for example, Trump won the election, somebody's swimming by me right now on a raft. Hello. He's waving. Say hi. Yell hi to our audience. Hi. Anyway.
Oh, hello, person on the raft. That's so cool.
We're on the air. Anyway, I like this. We got to talk about this, Amanda. We got to. Anyway, I was saying, if somebody is, you know, okay, Trump won the election. He didn't. If somebody says that more people died from the flu than COVID, no, they didn't. If somebody said COVID is a hoax, no, it's not. All right? Yeah. This is ignorance. This is stupidity. You can't cure stupidity. How do you cure stupidity?
You can't.
You can't.
No, but somebody can see the, not error of their ways, but they can recognize for themselves, you know, how it's perceived to be stupidity, and maybe, you know, a little humility goes a long way, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody's evil, can you, is that treatable? If somebody thinks a certain way, they think a certain way because of what they, you know, perceive the world as being, and you know, some people that you go into, and evil might be too strong a word. Evil might be too strong a word. It probably is. So,
okay.
So I'm not quite too much sure what the appropriate word might be because
I understand what you mean. The kind of like ill intention that
people inflict
onto others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. And even somebody, you know, and we talked about the Dennis Prager show here, so one day we will connect ourselves to that show and talk about his opinions, but somebody says, like Dennis Prager, who's an AM conservative talk show host here in America, and I'm sure you can see him around the world, put his name up, says that universities are evil. And tells people, do not send your kids to college because they could come in as one, as male or female, and come out to college the other male or female, or questioning their gender, or enter college as Republican and come out of college as a Democrat or an independent, or standing up for women's rights, standing up for equal pay, standing up for somebody to be able to question their own gender, and even if you don't, respect somebody who does. Don't wonder why or what, just respect them for doing it, and that's okay. Oh, that's what you learn in college?
And these people can't find these things out for themselves without being at college, you know? We've got the internet. We've got society.
Right. Yeah.
That's just stupid.
Instead, you should look at conservative-oriented videos, and Prager, his fraudulent university, and the university's got a bunch of YouTube videos that speak of conservative talking points, calls it Prager U University. But in fact, we know that it is not a university. It's actually there's something, even a private school, a private college has to do to deserve the title university, and it ain't easy, and it's very highly regarded for somebody that, like Trump, who started his Trump University, and he scammed tons of people out of hundreds of thousands of dollars more. And he was being sued and had to settle that suit for $25 million before his presidential campaign, or else, of course, it would have come up.
Here
comes somebody with the raft right behind me. It looks like they're going to take a plunge into the water. We'll broadcast it live. We're going to broadcast the plunge. This very attractive woman in a bikini, in a bathing suit. Oh, no, looks like she's not taking a plunge. I thought you were taking a plunge, ma'am. Okay.
Was that not yet? Maybe later.
She wanted to come up and see what this guy on the end of the dock was doing. Oh, well, okay. She's running now. Okay. Uh-huh. Thank you, more often. There's two girls in sexy bikinis. There's two of them down there. We should go interview them here on the Andy and Amanda show. We should put them on with Dr. Ruth.
I'm sure some interesting questions come up right now.
I got to tell you, I'm just used to doing the show in the studio or, you know, get the walls, the windows, even though I am looking quite often at my pet Blue Jays, Jeff. I like the scenery a whole lot better.
You know, I would argue the same thing, you know, I'm pretty much doing the same thing with you out my window. I'm very blessed to be able to see some hills and fields and things from where I am.
You gotta send me a picture. I always send you pictures. You gotta send me a picture. Yes.
You want me to send you one right now?
Yeah, send it to you right now. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Bear with me. You talk for a moment and I'll get up and take a picture.
All right, I'll see what I have here, what I can talk about here, let's see.
Who cares how old you are? It's how you feel, how you look.
So I've heard.
Uh-huh. Okay, I got something. We haven't done this in a while.
I'm accessing my WhatsApp. Okay.
Hold on to your seat. Hold on to your seat. Here we go.
Let's see.
Okay.
Come on. About to send, Mr. Kimball.
Okay.
Okay. I've just done it.
I'll go check.
Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see? Oh, what you doing to me? Oh, when you don't believe a word I'm saying. We can't go on together with suspicious minds.
Ever served in a forward area?
Don't ask me. Ask China that question.
Ever put your life in another man's hands?
You see, he said he was going to ask a very simple, easy question. And it's not. It's not. Not a simple question. Not a fair question.
We follow orders, son.
Okay, sit down. I understand the rest of your question. So here's the story, folks. Number one, I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. Number two, racism, the least racist person. In fact, we did very well relative to other people running as a Republican. Quiet. See, he lied about he was going to get up and ask a very straight, simple question. So, you know.
Are we clear?
Wait. I know who you are. Just wait.
You snotty little bastard.
See, I know when I should get good and when I should get bad. And sometimes I'll say, wow, that's going to be a great story. And I'll get killed. I know what's good and bad. I'd be a pretty good reporter, not as good as you.
I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
How much longer should we stay here, folks?
Ever served in a forward area?
I want to find a friendly reporter.
You can't handle the truth.
Listen, this is the way it is.
You snotty little bastard.
The public isn't, you know, they read newspapers, they see television, they watch. They don't know if it's true or false.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about suspicious minds.
We haven't heard that one in a while. Yeah.
Oh, yes, just thank goodness. No disrespect. But for our new listeners, okay, there's an inside joke between myself, Andy, and our coordinator, Cornell. So we're on the show one time, and Andy plays Suspicious Minds, and we're kind of like, oh, this is cool. And then he played it again. We thought, well, yes, okay, this is still cool. And then he played it again and again and again and
again.
And Cornell and I were just like, Andy, no, stop, damn it, stop. And it got way too much. But yes, we haven't heard it in a while. It was quite refreshing to actually hear it again, I must admit.
Anyway, yes, so let's not forget. Also here in the news in the United States, we have decisions now to maintain limits regarding in occupations of lots of people indoors, wearing of masks and so forth, primarily due not only to just people getting coronavirus, but specific to the Delta variant in the U.S. and around the world. That's it's bad, folks. It's gone the other way.
Yeah.
And the shame of it is, and how many times can we beat this drum? I just, you know, my hand's getting tired. You know what I'm saying? if more people got vaccinated, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, this is very, very true. Yeah. A friend of mine recently just got vaccinated, and they were holding off for the longest time, bless them, for their own personal reasons, you know, health issues, and they were concerned that it was going to affect their health. But fair play. Well, went and got it done. So props to her. That's another step in the right direction for people. I don't actually know the statistics. Well, I can't speak very well today. I'm sorry, listeners. I don't know the statistics. I feel like I've been drinking. Of those that are unvaccinated, Andy. I think that would be interesting to find out. I mean, like, the stats that I have in front of me here are that in the UK we have a total of 46,563,452 that have had their first dose, and 37,160,659 that have had their second dose. So we're at 88% on the first dose and 70.3% on the second dose. That puts it into perspective then, right there. So there's about 43,454 that are having theirs daily of the first dose, and 206,968 of the second dose. And they're noticing that younger adults are starting to take up having the vaccination, because a lot of them were arguing back. They were saying, well, why should I have to have a vaccination? I'm young, I'm healthy, you know, give me a chance to fight off the virus. I understand that completely, because at the end of the day, we do have a say over our bodies. Our body is our property, our right, our health. We should be able to decide for ourselves what we want.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you've got this kind of pandemic and this kind of death threat right in front of us, it really is sensible to sit and take a moment and say, well, okay, this is how I feel about my body. I respect myself, my body, but also what could this lead to by not taking this vaccine? Maybe there's something underlying that I don't know about within my body. Maybe my immune system is not as good as I think it is. Just because I'm young and appear to be healthy on the surface doesn't actually mean that you are. So there's various things to take into consideration, and you know, the benefit of everybody else as well. It's not just our bodies now. It's a case of helping everyone around us by doing the right thing as well. Really been a challenging time, hasn't it, on our own humanity and compassion and our values and things like that. This whole thing has really thrown it all up into the air and made us question so many things. Are we doing this for everybody else? Are we doing it for ourselves? Are we being thoughtless? Are we being selfish? Is this the right thing to do? It's been so challenging on so many levels.
You're so right. It really has taken us to task as a population, as a species, occupying this planet. It has.
Very much so.
It really is. And here we have this guy, this Donald Trump guy, who made a two-hour ranting, raving, nonsense speech on Saturday, sponsored by a group committed to for that recount in Arizona, where he mentioned in a very short time period, routers. We must get routers. The routers that you connect the for the ballot counts, so the computer routers, you know, the internet routers are in the vote tally facilities. We must subpoena those routers. We got to get the routers. What's that going to do? Because somehow he thinks he's still going to somehow show that the election was stolen from him and he won. He lost the election. I remember him saying it. I think we played on the show a while back. And he actually said, we lost the election in a calm voice. I forget what kind of conversation he was having. And he said that. But anyway, he goes on to these political campaign type rallies and is still boasting these lies and these fabrications to a bunch of loyal supporters and also Arizona politicians who are looking to gain election or re-election and followers, people supporting the recount by this fraudulent Trump-supporting company that he hired, that they hired to do the recount. And I'm sure, you know, if this recount has any validity and is in line with the previous three recounts that were done, that were supervised by Republican Secretary of State in Arizona, it should come up with the same result, which is that Trump, in fact, lost Arizona. But he gave this two-hour speech on Saturday. Like a political type of campaign speech.
Okay.
Boasting, continuing to facilitate and propagate this lie. He won the election. The election has been over for, you know, Trump lost. Biden's been in office for 6 months. This country did in a bow face, and we're not finished yet. We still have a lot of work to do. But we're headed, my God, compared to the last 6 months, the last 4 years, can we talk?
It's unbelievable.
And what is the perception there? What is the perception there of the United States now since Biden has been in office in terms of, wow, they finally they're getting it together? What are people talking about there?
Well, you know, I can only go on two things, and that's what I've heard from people that I'm around or what has been put in the media, right? Because we've all been on lockdown. We haven't had the opportunity to be around each other as much to find out what everybody is truly thinking. And of course, the third, social media, okay? So what I've come across from social media and my personal accounts are that nobody minds Biden being in. In fact, everyone seems pretty relieved that Trump is out simply because, you know, he was quite pompous and arrogant and didn't really seem to care the way he said he did. And that's the appearance of how it seems, okay? So there's going to be many people out there who argue, yes, he did care, he made all these changes, and granted, you know, I can understand your perception on that and appreciate it. So here I think, you know, like I said on a few shows back, that it's the economic value that people wanted to keep Trump in from this country. Because of the trade deals we were doing with the U.S. and how that affected Europe as well. So on that level, yeah, there was a lot of people that did want Trump to stay in, and they were, you know, really concerned about Biden taking over because Biden has had this issue with the U.K. Simply because of his Irish connections and us coming out of the EU with Brexit. So, of course, because we were coming out of Brexit, we had the whole issue with the how Europe's going to be trading with Northern Ireland. And Boris Johnson was getting a lot of flack for the fact of the way he was setting up a deal with Northern Ireland to be able to trade without too many hindrances, because Northern Ireland is still seeing a decent trade with Europe, having the same kind of procedures in place that we had with Europe, without it being affected too much. And Boris was trying his best to keep everyone happy, keep that in place, whilst making the changes for the rest of the UK. But unfortunately, there's been a lot of ups and downs regarding Ireland and the EU. And Biden was saying, you know, well, this is going to throw a stick in the mud for me if you don't do things right, and I won't stand by the UK. Pretty much, that was the opinion that we got, or the impression we got from Biden, that he wasn't going to support much of a trade deal with the UK if we messed things up with Ireland. So there was a lot of tension with coming out of the EU and Biden stepping into power. So other than that, you know, we didn't really like Trump as a person. The impression I got from social media, friends, and even the media was nobody really liked Trump. That's it in a nutshell.
The world is a better place. Well, Amanda, this has been fun. We're you know, live from Michigan. Literally on, not in Lake, we're on a lake in Michigan. I am. And Amanda is in the UK. First time we've ever done a remote show, and it's working out, and it's giving us some ideas. And how we can do live broadcasts from different types of events, and you know, get perhaps, you know, do some more candid interviewing, and, you know, taking some different geographies and backgrounds and environments when we do the show. It's kind of cool. And you can do it on your end, too, and we'll talk about that. You know, you and I can actually be roving and do the show with both of us, like, roving, like, literally mobile on different, you know, taking a hike in the woods or swimming on the ocean, being on a – hey, I want to do one from a boat. That's, you know, I get back to California. We got to do one with me out on the ocean on a boat, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have fun with this. We cover a lot of things, talk about a lot of things. Hopefully we provoke some thought, get some juices going, get some juice. And as Cornell might say, and our number,
or send people to sleep,
or send people to sleep. Our number to join our show. Next show is Wednesday at 3 p.m. New York, you know, Eastern Daylight Time, 8 p.m. in the UK. If you're on the West Coast, that'll be a noontime show, and that'll be Wednesday, and same thing on Friday. And this has been a lot of fun. It's been an experiment. This show has been an experiment. So we're just kind of rambling on, having a lot of fun, touching on some subjects, which we normally do. But we're having a good time doing it still. Doesn't matter.
We are.
Together. Doesn't matter what we do. You put the two of us together, we're gonna have a good time, whatever we do. So,
absolutely.
We've never met, so there. You know what I mean? So we hope you've enjoyed this, folks. And we hope you can join us again on the Wednesday show, where I will again be broadcasting from Michigan. And we will talk to you then. Amanda, take us home.
Okay, so on behalf of Andy Kimball dipping his toes in the lake, and on behalf of myself sat in my chair in my office space in the UK, and, you know, on behalf of the listeners, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you. We love you. And join us again on Wednesday for another cool and fun show, and we appreciate your support. So take care, keep smiling, and we'll speak to you then.
Definitely. And one thing I want to mention, Amanda, real quick, I don't think I did. I sent you a note back, but I did get your picture on WhatsApp of what your view is outside your studio. And it's
yes.
so pretty where you are. I forgot to mention Aww. That. Wow.
Thank you.
You've never sent me that picture, I don't think, or maybe you did, I don't remember, but that picture of your view when you're on the show, what you're looking at, and it's really beautiful where you are. And
thank
you. Know,
I
was actually, I was anxious to get you here. I'm thinking I might want to go there. Anyway, we got to wrap it up. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Take care.
We'll see you on Wednesday. Take care. 515-605-988. Join the show on Wednesday. Bye-bye now.
Bye, everyone.